My name's Ed Piskor.
I'm Jim Rugg.
And we were encouraged to do some list episodes. We decided we'll do top five unfinished comics that we would like to see finished someday. But first, Jimmy, what do you have?
I'm showing some of my books that are currently in print and available wherever you buy comics. Street Angel Deadliest Girl Alive is a collection of my Image Street Angel comics in glorious full color, along with some stories that weren't published. So it's
were they finished though?
They are finished. So it's complete and a half. But this is available now. It's still in print. And again, you can get it through your comic shops. You can get it through Amazon. It's available digitally on Comixology. Wherever you engage with comics, you can pick this up. And some of my best comics, stuff I'm very proud of. So if you haven't read Street Angel Deadliest Girl Alive, pick that up now. And you can see how I made this comic on my Patreon at patreon.com/JimRugg, which is basically cartoonist kayfabe for my comics making approach. Lots of original art, sketches, behind the scenes stuff, and out of print zines and mini comics that you can download. So patreon.com/JimRugg.
Currently have an unfinished comic series, Jim, called Red Room, that is just going to be coming out beginning May 2021. So depending on when you're watching this video, it's either out or about to be out. Murder on the Dark Web for Fun and Profit. This first issue is three times the size of your average comic, and every single issue will be self-contained. So here's the cover for issue number two. Cover for issue number three. Like I said, all self-contained. So if you find an issue, scoop it up, grab it up. It'll give you a complete story for your money's worth. And if you want to read these comics ahead of time, you can hit up my Patreon, patreon.com/edpiskor. And $3 will get you the complete archive on all the pages that I submit to the patrons. Over 100 pages so far, the equivalent of more than three issues. And I put new pages up every Tuesday. But Jimmy, we've done this channel for a couple of years, and there was mention of various unfinished comics. Why not put together a little video together to kind of give a house and home to the five big ones that we're going to be talking about? But you know how that goes, Jimmy. You make a list and gets people talking.
Yeah, I'm excited to see the talk that comes out of this, because comics have quite a history of these kinds of unfinished projects. And narrowing it down to five good ones was a little bit challenging, but I like these choices quite a bit, so eager to dive into this.
Yeah, we'll start with Chester Brown's Underwater.
Coming off of Yummy Fur, after he concludes Yummy Fur, one of my choices for best comic series of all time, goes to Underwater, an almost indecipherable, impossible to summarize, strange, surreal comic. I think this was about basically following somebody from the time they're born, and part of that is language. A lot of this comic is based on language, and if you're looking, you can see it doesn't make sense, these, you know, what people are saying. But as the series progresses, you start to see patterns emerge, and the language starts to be more discernible.
Yeah.
So some sort of childhood development or something, I guess, would be what this is about.
Not 100% sure where the sort of end goal was, if we were going to follow this character through his entire life. And if it gets beyond language, then it becomes conceptual, or starts to become aware of politics and social decorum and things like that. One of the great kind of examples that kind of built off of this, there are two comics that are going to be kayfabe episodes in the future. The Lint story from Acme Novelty Library that doesn't need...
Very interesting, yeah.
Doesn't need, you know, 11 issues to basically get a lot of the same stuff covered within its text. It uses one page per year. Another comic that I've been meaning to talk to you about setting up an episode for the future is the Julio's Day story that Gilbert Hernandez does in volume 2, the floppy-sized Love and Rockets, I think the first 10 issues, where it follows the lineage of a family through a century. So every page is a year. And imagine you take one moment of a year with a whole family where Julio is kind of the through line for it all.
Right.
Amazing comics. But I think the genesis of that idea kind of comes from Underwater.
Interesting. I was going to say, like, skip ahead, maybe show issue 11 or you know, like, one a little bit later on.
Yeah.
Not a lot of difference, but this is one of those, another one on my short list for strangest comics you'll ever read would be, like, you know, if you picked up chapter 4 or something of this,
right,
with no context of what you're getting into, it would absolutely be baffling.
More unfinished comics from Chester Brown.
Exactly. So he was adapting the Gospels of the New Testament, and I think he adapted Mark maybe completely, but did not get through all of them. And it's unfortunate because, you know, if you read those, they're sort of like Rashomon, where it's the same events but told through the perspective of different disciples. And he does that. You know, like Jesus is different in the couple of Gospels that he did adapt. A really interesting take on, you know, adapting a text. And kind of a shame that those don't all exist and aren't collected somewhere for very easy reading reference for all of us comic fans. But Chester Brown, a fascinating cartoonist, and again, one of the more unique comics that I can think of.
Let's see how the boy develops a little bit more language, man. Hello, hi, okay. The simple stuff. Let's fast forward to another Life of ... kind of comic. One of the most heartbreaking comics that I want to see completed. It's heartbreaking because we just don't have it. I need 500 pages of this. When this thing was sold to us in Palmer's Picks, bi-monthly comic going to sort of give us the story, the complete life story of a Tyrannosaurus Rex. And we barely got that little sucker out of the egg before the 1990s comics implosion happens. And a self-published comic just ain't gonna pay the bills.
Yeah, it's so sad. I was reading this when it was coming out, and it's gorgeous. As you're flipping through these pages, Ed, I'm drooling. I loved this comic so much. I never thought about how similar it is to Underwater, and that you're watching the development of a T-Rex from egg, you know, presumably into adulthood. And it breaks my heart that, you know, they say comics will break your heart. This is one of the most heartbreaking for me, just because I can't think of a prettier comic.
Right.
I love dinosaurs. Bissett was really putting his all into this. Like, you look at the back matter, and it's information on paleontology. It's information on dinosaurs and other media. It's really a great series. And in some ways, hey, we're lucky we got four issues. But man, I'm like you. I would have loved 40. I would have bought 400 of them. Whatever he wanted to do, I was going to buy all of them. And they're stunning. He's just stunning.
He continues to be a student of paleontology as he's putting this together. So in subsequent issues, he will correct things from earlier bits, which would create the greatest piece of back matter for the inevitable graphic novel series that this would have become. Usually in the Myrant section, you would have this and just full of dinosaur talk.
Yeah, I loved it. I loved the subject and his execution. These drawings, too, I think he would send these to retailers. So, like, the inside covers would have super great artwork. It was just a cool package. And on glorious newsprint, which really adds that nice off-white kind of color to go with the black. The black's a little soft on the newsprint. It's just a very perfect
imagine altogether. All of the work that has to go into figuring out the gestation period of a dinosaur, what they look like at the various stages of development. What grows first?
How much, when you look at something that's this rigorous and it's, you know, scientific study, imagine, wrong place, wrong time.
Way ahead of his time.
He's a few years away from when, like, this could have been sold in museums. It could have been taught in schools. Like, that's the other part that's a little heartbreaking whenever I revisit this. It's just thinking, like, it seems perfect.
Three issues to get our little guy out of the egg. So we have one. There he is, our little dude.
Gorgeous.
To Killjoy, S.R. Bissett. I don't know who that is.
You should scratch out Killjoy and put your name in there. Really good turtle face.
Yeah.
Man, it looks like a box turtle.
Great directional devices throughout, man. He's just an incredible visual storyteller.
Really strong black and white work, too. All the different textures that he brings to it, all the values. It really is a gorgeous, you know, from a drawing standpoint, just gorgeous.
There's a letter in one of these, man, from Gary Groth, who says, like, you know, this isn't the strongest artwork I've seen from you, and goes on, like, this whole rant, and then at the end, he's like, you know, I was just playing, right? And Steve Bissett's Steve Bissett's response is like, you know, phew.
That's funny. I was ready to be like, what? Come on, Gary, this stuff looks awesome.
It might even be this.
Nice.
I'm sorry, but I don't think this is up to your usual high standards. However, your footnotes are brilliant. And then at the end, Now, if only your art and writing achieved the same level of wit, style, and drama of your footnotes, you'll have a winner on your hands. Best of luck, Gary Groth. And a P.S. Only kidding. Couldn't resist. I've read issue one, not issue two, but it looks like the best drawing you've ever done. Luck and all that.
By the way, that's very high praise. The best drawing Bissett's ever done, because he's such a good artist. Yes. You know, man, I always look at his Swamp Thing art, and it just blows my mind, the level of quality. For this to be considered the best, it's really saying something. It's a high bar that he's raising.
So Steve Bissett, frequent collaborator with Alan Moore. Swamp Thing is how he got his bones. But
and one of the first publishers of From Hell.
Yes, yes, yes. Which did see completion. But we have a couple Alan Moore comics that we would like to see finished. 1963 got deep coverage on the Kayfabe channel. The idea was that the Image universe existed all the way back at the dawn of kind of Silver Age Marvel Comics, with each issue of this on glorious newsprint in a day when Image comics were published on glossy paper.
Bissett artwork here.
Computer coloring. Here's a Steve Bissett Silver Age interpretation. You never see that guy draw superheroes in any major way. This is him flexing his chops, showing everybody that he can do it. And each of these stories is kind of like an ersatz analog to, you know, Silver Age Marvel characters for the most part. The idea is that these characters are going to end up in a kind of 1993. All right, so in my stacks, we almost had an unfinished video, Jimmy. Because it was book six, where we pull all the 1963 characters. You know, you have your Spider-Man, you have your Captain America, you have your, like, Tales to Astonish kind of Hulk, Doctor Strange kind of thing. You got your Thor. Let's get all the characters together in an Avengers-type scenario, and they're gonna...
I was thinking of Secret Wars.
Okay, yeah, sure. Yeah, sure. They're gonna go through some sort of time portal, go through various... different realities. We just saw like a Ronin kind of piece.
That was always like one of the cool spreads, all those realities and different characters.
Yes, going through different kind of independent comics reality, spitting out in this computer colored universe. You see all this like great four color process spitting out into this computer colored reality. This is a callback to a character from issue one, the Mystery Incorporated Fantastic Four homage. And then we get to see this character pull off his mask. Turns out to be Shaft, man. What was going to follow this, Jimmy?
The 1963 annual, drawn by Jim Lee, and it was going to be glorious. The 1963 characters mashed up in the 1993 Image world. So you'd get, you know, you see the list, Spawn, Wildcats, Shadowhawk, all the Image characters interacting with these characters. What a payoff. Like, the 1963 books are pretty awesome, but the idea that they were set up for this big annual, I mean, come on.
I heard a lot of legend, too.
How doesn't this exist?
I heard so much legend, too. You know, the more pieces to the machine that you put together, the more complex and the greater chance of it not seeing the light of day. So one of the pieces that I heard, and it might have even been called out in here, or it's just legend at this point, Jim Lee's going to draw the modern characters, and then the bullpen of 1963 guys going to draw the 1963 characters. All that FedExing between Vermont and California with a dude from England sending script pages. That comic was not fucking happening, man.
It's so sad. It's such a cool premise. Like, you wonder what the takeaway would be if that book had come out. Like, would this be remembered as one of Alan Moore's great superhero comics gotten the conclusion?
Here's another Steve Bissett piece, one of the most disturbing images I've ever seen in my entire life. Where is that funny. Tale going?
Yes.
Not the last Alan Moore unfinished comic.
The last Jim Lee unfinished comic.
That we would like to see completed. Big numbers.
Exactly.
Bill Sienkiewicz, Alan Moore. What is the conceit of this? It's like chaos theory.
You know what it is, man? It makes more sense now than ever. And it's the idea that, like, you know, with enough data, everything is predictable, essentially.
Yeah.
So this is looking at a very large community, I guess in England, that is bringing in, I think they're putting in a mall. And it's essentially looking at the community and how this affects it, you know, from designers, architects, construction workers, people who are living there that are pushed out. It's just this gigantic cross-section of, I don't know, like city or community as a living organism.
Amazing.
Really pushing comics boundaries. You know, Bill Sienkiewicz, the perfect artist for this, you know, with his ability to use a lot of different commercial art styles.
Meant to be 12 issues. So you see, you know, on the back cover design, like, the number is highlighted.
Published these first two by Mad Love, Alan Moore's self-publishing imprint.
Might still have that P.O. box.
That's my receipt, I think, from buying this thing that I paid $1 for, I believe.
Incredible.
I found it tucked in the side of a comics box because it's square shape. It doesn't fit in a regular comic or magazine box.
So maybe a dozen characters introduced in the comic.
Look at that.
Look at that, man. Al Columbia jumps on board to put pencil to paper and charcoal to paper and airbrush to paper on issue 3 that does not see the light of day, but you can find... Dude, that looks like Jim Rugg.
Nice.
Doesn't it?
I think that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I'll take that.
That's amazing.
Pontificating there about something or other.
Incredible stuff. And it just did not get completed. A proper published version of this did not...
If I could have the 63 annual or big numbers, I would take big numbers.
Sure.
It is a comic like no other, and it's sad... It's so sad it doesn't exist in total.
Here's the closest way that it exists in total. If you get the book Alan Moore Storyteller, you kind of go back to the mid section of the book where they're talking about big numbers, right? And Matt Wagner was just talking about this on the Brian Hibbs interview when he went to go visit Alan Moore. He said that on a big piece of paper, that newsprint that you do figure drawing, there was a giant sheet, you know, 30 inches by whatever, gridded off.
These, I love this.
These are, okay, so these are all of the characters that were introduced, and these are the 12 issues going on the Y-axis? It's been a while. And then just the most maniacal Kevin Spacey from Seven writing to construct, basically, the characters' arcs in every issue. And the way Matt Wagner described it, one piece of paper. So this is the top half.
Jeez.
This is the bottom half of that paper.
That's incredible. I love seeing this so much. If for no other reason for this episode to pull this out, Ed, is amazing because it's such a different approach to writing.
Yes.
You know, if you look at, like, Watching the Watchmen has all this ancillary material about making that series, and you see this kind of thing, charts and graphs and, you know, notes written in a very non-linear, non-script way. I love seeing this because it's one of the great writers from comics history, and you can see this isn't a formula. This isn't a, you know, how to write comics the Alan Moore way. This is a guy who's really pushing what he's trying to do. Again, such a crime that we didn't get to see this, you know, finished, but really remarkable. And so much around this series, when you think about why isn't it finished? He's self-publishing it. He's doing it in a size that comic shops, I'm sure, detested. You know, there's just all of these challenges that could be summed up through a deep analysis of big numbers and why we got two issues instead of a series.
Yes.
Even having collaborators backing out and falling apart. I mean, these are real things that happen whenever you're trying to make something, especially something as boundary pushing as this.
Yeah, man, you got to keep your collaboration and the self-publish effort together enough to complete 480 pages.
Of really intense comics.
You got to keep two continents apart from each other, man, in order to make that happen. So that is two Alan Moore comic books that we would like to see finished. Did one Jim Lee, so you pull this off and you saw it at the very beginning, and people are like, what? The Von Strucker Gambit didn't get completed? Nah, that's not what we're talking about, man. Even though there's some cool extra art in this piece, we are talking about right at the end of 1991, there was going to be the Jim Lee Punisher Nick Fury Rules of the Game graphic novel. Probably a 64-page gimmick like they did.
I thought you were going to say, like, Red Room number one.
Right. And, you got two pages, right, of, like, money shots of the coolest Nick Fury you ever saw and the coolest Punisher busting through a window that you ever saw. And this, a little thing called Image Comics is going to happen that's going to take Jim Lee away from this piece right here.
And I think if you snoop around online, you can find even another page or a couple more pages of this. A few pages were done, and you know, it was alluded to in print, yes, in several places. So definitely something that was in the works, and I like that art, so I'm a little bit disappointed not to have that.
Beautiful color. I think it might even be written by Gregory Wright, who's also a colorist.
Yeah, it must be. I was just wondering about some of the colors. I love the purples that are in both of these pages. Seems a little unusual, and it looks good.
So there it is, man. There's five comic books that we would like to see finished that didn't get their just due. If there are any others that you could think of, Kay Fabers, put those mentions in the comments. Maybe we will have enough in stock that we could do another video like this. But Jimmy, you have one or two to show off?
I have at least one I gotta mention. This is Dawn of Matrix by Mike Sines, the digital comics maker that I like. And this isn't actually Dawn of Matrix, it's a magazine about Dawn of Matrix, which was covered in Comic Scene, covered in, you know, sort of the press at the time. And there were plans to do like a dozen monthly issues, and we only got one. For any number of reasons. I think he got pulled into the software world.
Making money?
Yeah, to making adult video games and CD-ROMs. But it was covered enough that, you know, there were plans for this much longer series, and sadly we never got that. So that's one that personally disappoints me, just because I was such a fan of Dawn of Matrix and would have loved to have had more issues of that. But there are lots of unfinished comics in comics history.
How many more Jim Lee ones?
Jim Lee and Grant Morrison launched Wildcats and did one issue of a proposed 12-issue series. That's a pretty big one. And we looked at All-Star Batman and Robin, Jim Lee and Frank Miller's comic. That series remains unfinished to this day. So
didn't have much favorable to say about that series, but maybe they would have tied it all together by issue 12.
They might have. Maybe Batman would have woke up at the end of issue 12 and all would have been forgiven.
Make you have a face turn.
But, you know, there's tons of this kind of stuff, because making comics is hard. So I'm curious to see what the kayfabers come up with in the comments. I think this is a rich topic, and who knows? If we get another five really good choices, maybe we'll revisit this topic in the future.
It turns out we like talking about comics here. Kayfabers, like, follow, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Hit the bell. We'll notify you when new vids are available. Jimmy, what's out there?
Join me on patreon.com/jimrug, where you can see some of my unfinished in-progress comics work right now, along with out-of-print zines and mini-comics, lots of original art, and basically how I make comics. Patreon.com/JimRug.
Red Room, issue 1, going to be on the stands May 2021. I hit my link tree in the description below. You could pre-order the comics. You could order them depending on when you're checking this video out and hitting that link. It's going to be coming out on a monthly basis for a proposed 12 issues. A baker's dozen if you count the free Comic Book Day comic. That's me knocking on wood. Patreon.com/EdPiskor is where you could read those exact comics ahead of time. $3 gets the archive. There are 100 plus pages up there as we speak, which is more than the yield of 3 comics. And every new strips go out every Tuesday. What else, Jim?
Join our e-newsletter at the links below this video to keep up with everything Cartoonist Kayfabe that we have coming up and coming out in a very, very full 2021. You can also find Cartoonist Kayfabe t-shirts and merchandise at the links below this video.
Jimmy, give him one last set of marching orders, man. We're going to be on our way.
Read more comics.
Finish more comics.